So welcome everybody to our case study call for the month of August 2019, and we have one case study that was submitted by Isabel. I didn't see any others, and I do want to make sure that we are prompt on our timing today. Usually we go as long as we want to, but I do have a webinar to do right after this, so we'll be ending probably right at a little bit after two. All right, so it looks like who else came in? We have Valerie, who I said hi to. We have Sisono, who's that? Oh, Elaine, hi, good to see you. We have
Kim. Emanuela.
Who is that?
Emanuela. She joined, I think, in 2014.
Oh, wow. Hello. Yeah. Welcome. I'm glad you're here. Yay. So we're going to go with Isabel's case, and it looks like somebody that you've submitted before. I don't know if we just discussed it.
We did. Okay. Yeah.
So I really want to, like, you know, I can give everybody an update on the background from your responses, but then to really hone in on what do you really need help with, like, where is she at? It sounds like it's a tough.
Yeah, she's at a good place right now. So she's a 7-year-old with myotitis, autoimmune.
Multi-syllabic word. Yeah. Grab my chair.
Yeah, so she's still on vegan diet, mostly cooked. That seemed to work well with her right now. And she's on a steady improvement. So a lot of the muscle ache, a lot of the rash is gone right now. And she's more energetic. She could ride her bike like more like a normal 7-year-old. So she's doing well. She's still on her medication. And her doctor is weaning her off. She's taking the medication as well. So she's making great improvements. So from last time when we talked, she had mold exposure.
Yes.
We did a test on that. And at the house, she's moved out of the house and she's taking zeolite. Mm. She's taking, can look at her, let me see her supplement list.
I have her, I can put it on share screen.
Yeah.
So
let's go
here. There we go. Yeah, this is her. Yeah, I was like 7 years old. Holy cow.
Yeah.
And you have her height and weight in on.
Was when I first started working with her. I asked her dad what it is now. He hasn't replied. So she's made improvement. I'll get the update later. Yeah.
But you have them in, you have it in metric. That was what was confusing to me. I'm like, because I saw 115. I'm like, 7 years old and she weighs 115? we got to help this girl. But then I recognized it pretty quickly. Let me find it. Here we go. So here's her health tracker. And she, are they British or European? Or why are they? Why
do no,
they,
Hispanic.
Hispanic. Okay. So they're like everybody else in the world. Does it in metric. Okay, so there's her lab values. We're going to look at her supplements. Yeah, okay. All right, so keep going.
Yeah, so last time we talked about L-glutamine was a little bit high, but she's doing well on that dosage. I have cut it down a little bit, but she's doing well with that. Slippery elm, probiotics, vitamin D, B12.
And have you tested her vitamin D?
Yes, she's made some improvement, but still needs to be improved. So we up the dosage.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can go. There have been studies that show even with little kids, you can go 4,000 and have no problems, even if they're doing it for extended periods of time. So
okay.
Get her into optimal range because it's so important for autoimmune.
Okay, we'll do that. Okay, so up the, okay. And let me see. She doesn't do well. Protein powder, she's doing pretty well with that. So she's still continuing. Amino complex, she didn't do too well with that. So we stopped a long time ago.
Okay. What, when she say she didn't do well, what were the symptoms?
Like stomach ache.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. And it could be other things as well. We just never put it back. So since she's doing the protein powder.
Well, and she looks like she's gaining some muscle because that's the thing you have to worry about is having enough protein with the muscle.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so she's on vitamin D. Omega.
Omega
3. Yep. Liposomal curcumin.
Yep. Scroll it.
Okay, and the zeolite.
Yep. And you've got her on liposomal glutathione as well.
Yeah.
So you've got her on a lot. How's the compliance with taking all this?
Pretty good. It's all liquid, so they just put in her food.
Good. Beautiful.
So they're having a little bit hard time. She's on a, she probably eats like 15 type of different food, like, but it's like spinach, some kale, carrots, celery. And she's, they're having a little bit hard time introducing new foods like chia or hemp, coconut. So she's a pretty picky eater.
Yeah, yeah. So it's not that she has a bad reaction to the food. It's that she just doesn't, she's picky and doesn't want.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can they put new stuff in her and give her some variety in her smoothies?
She doesn't do smoothie right now. So I've been encouraging them to do smoothie. So we'll see.
Yeah, that would be good if they could find a base that they, that she likes, and then little by little sneak it. It's a great medium for getting kids to take stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
So how are they taking all this other liquid stuff? They're just putting it in a glass for her, or juice, or what do they?
They just put in her food. Like she, they usually sting her, okay. Sting her food a little bit, and then they just mix it in there.
Great.
Yeah. Yeah. So they're doing well on their slow, zinc we just added on not too long ago. They take a little time to add, to introduce new supplements.
Sure.
I was thinking like liquid B, B complex,
to add that there.
To add that as well.
Well, what's your rationale there? Do you think that there's some,
well, I'm worrying about her, nutrition. Mm-hmm. If she's getting enough,
she's getting enough, right.
B5, B6.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's getting the 12, and that's about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, you could try it. Just go slow with it. The Premier has the compound one, and I know Metabolics over in England does, but Premier is probably the easiest one to get here.
Okay, yeah. So I'm thinking about the B complex. I think she's pretty good with the supplements, and so mold testing, thinking that she also tested for leaky gut. She has leaky gut. So I'm thinking she should retest for mold first, take care of that first before retest for leaky gut.
Now, when did she get tested for the molds?
That was in May. So 3 months she's been on this protocol for
3 months. And the leaky gut, what did she have? It was a wheat zoomer. I see it here.
Wheat zoomer. Yeah. So WeeZoomer, she did that back in March. Oh, February. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking if she still has mold, if there's still mold presence in her system, it's going to, that's
probably not a bad idea because she's changed her. She's been out of that environment for 3 months as well.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. It's probably not a bad idea to see how it compares. If it's going down, how much is it going down? Just the fact that she's not there anymore will make a difference.
Okay.
So I think that would be a good idea.
Okay.
As far as the redoing the leaky gut, see how that goes. If that looks like it's been addressed and it's down, mm-hmm. then I would go back and retest this to see if you've done enough, and then you can start weaning her. But you know, it could take a little bit longer, but she's young. She's only 7. So it's not going to take as long as it would for one of us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so my focus for her is just like we see if we could introduce more food into her diet to have
was
a more.
Food that she was eating before, other than big junk, was she on junk food before?
She was. Yeah.
So if you can like figure out what her more favorite kinds of junk food were,
mm-hmm.
if you can help them to make something similar to that, right?
Okay. Yeah.
Whatever, ice cream, right? You can. Certainly make a really great leaky gut repair ice cream.
Yeah.
Right? You should know the difference. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I would do. Because it's hard when they're 7 years old and they've had a lot of pain. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mean, it's great that she's able to follow this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Kicking and screaming to do it, or was she at first?
She was, but now she is pretty much used to it. She's pretty much used to it, so she just wants her routine. She's like, okay, this is what I'm okay with this now. So it's a little harder to introduce stuff.
Yeah, but the fact that she's feeling better feeds her to go, okay, you know, I don't want to go back to feeling that way before.
Yeah. So she's doing
right her bike again. That's awesome.
Yeah. And if you could go to the lab report, so there are some markers I'm a little concerned.
Okay.
Okay, so glucose, that's before, that's after eating, so that might explain why it's a little bit high. But she kind of have a swing from low to high, these different markers.
So the BUN is fine.
Well, that's fine. Yeah, that went from high to low.
Which is good. That's some, you know, muscle wasting, mm-hmm. not dealing with all the creatine, you know, so I think that's fine.
That's fine. Okay.
Yeah, I would say, you know, really look at the protein intake and make sure she's getting enough.
Yeah, protein's better. So she's made improvement.
Okay. Bun creatinine ratio is still off. Mm-hmm. These all are good.
Phosphate. Yeah, so protein's good. Yeah. She's made improvement.
Protein and albumin look really good. Mm-hmm. LDH.
So LDH, that's what I'm concerned of. That's high.
Yeah. Tissue destruction, right? She's got an autoimmune disease.
And I came in a Kaiser. They go to Kaiser.
Yeah.
And I looked at their range. The range was from 450 to 700.
What?
That's really high.
Did they do a different? No, that's not. There's something different here. So I would check in with them.
Okay.
Find out if you look at the lab, is it?
I looked at the lab, and then let me look at it again, because I was like,
it in millimoles. Maybe they're reporting it in millimoles.
Yeah, so I was like, that is very high.
Yeah, no, if it's within their range, then it's probably there's something, especially if their range starts that high. You said it starts at what, 200 to?
400, so that was really.
The number of ours. So there's a different measurement there. There's something, yeah, when it's that off.
It's in UL.
It says UL.
Yeah, it says UL. And their range is 450 to 750.
Yeah. That's weird.
Yeah, so I thought that.
Because oftentimes we'll see them off by a factor of 10 or 100. Then we know that we're just off. If it's, you know, European to, let me see. I'm just going to put that number into the, if we have it in here. Do you have the non-US one in here? No. Oh, here we go. Lab Results International. I'm just going to put that number in just for grins and see what it comes out to convert to.
Okay.
Yeah, that's kind of odd.
Yeah,
if it's truly high, what I recommend for that is the isoenzymes.
Yeah, so I found some articles. I sent it to the dad, and I said, you know, you might want to ask your doctor to look into this.
Here we go. 477?
Yeah.
Let's see what it shows up. Yeah, no, it's the same in European as well.
Yeah, so I don't know why their range is so high.
That's something for them to ask.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's a little bit weird.
Yeah, that's a little.
They expect it to be that high.
Yeah.
That's like way off, right? Double.
Yeah. Yeah. And I found some different articles. So the range is up to like, it's much lower than that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The range, like, if you look at our normal range, it's up to 215.
Mm hmm.
And that's the normal range that's on these.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And did you look it up in the blood chem software?
Yeah, the blood chem software, it's not that high. It's even lower.
Usually, oftentimes.
Oh, I did run a blood chem on her. Yeah, I did.
Okay. What did it say about the LDH?
Where's the blood chem?
It's gonna log in. Yeah, something screwy there.
Yeah, that is. Yeah.
You actually are looking at the lab report, or are they just?
Yeah, I could share my screen and share the lab report.
I'll stop my share.
Okay.
Stop share.
Okay.
Okay, go ahead. You might not be able to. I may have to do this share thing like anybody can share.
Yeah. Can you see it?
Yep. It doesn't make sense.
Right? Yeah.
It doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. What you might want to do is print out, I would just do it on like a website, even not our software necessarily. If you go to like, lab, probably like any lab can or Mm-hmm. Look at this. Normal 105 to 333.
Yeah. So I have a couple articles I sent to the dad, like, hey, okay, this is what that is. And he asked the doctor.
Yes, the doctor. Because if it truly is, they're saying it's not high at all. It's at the low end.
Yeah, it's at the lower end. So that's
right. Cool. So but in general, if you have high LDLs, you want to run ALDHs. You want to run knockout the isoenzymes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. So let me stop share. Okay.
All right.
Okay. So if you
let me go back to sharing.
Okay.
And I'll, look at the lab. All right, so anything else? Her AST is a little bit high. It went up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Liver, she is detoxing, so mm-hmm. that could be from that. I would keep mm-hmm. an eye on that one.
Okay.
Because the GGT is low. I mean, it's usually if it's low, it could be a B6, which would support your wanting to put her on the multi-B. Mm-hmm. And the GGT is often high when there is a toxic exposure.
Okay.
That might indicate that it's going down and the liver's been processing it a lot. The other thing is muscle breakdown, the 31. So that's a concern that if she's having more muscle breakdown in spite of the fact that she's doing all this stuff and is on medication, that would be a concern. So that's why I would watch that one. I would do that one again fairly quickly within a couple of months.
Okay, so fairly quickly means within a couple.
I do it within a couple of months.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Oftentimes they'll only do those once a year, but I think a couple of months because it can be related to heart or muscle breakdown, okay. And we want to make sure it's not continuing because that's what this disease does is it breaks down muscles.
Okay.
Her white blood cell, that's the diet. That's fine. Mm-hmm. More and more saying now that, from four is really a lower range for healthy people when you look at healthy people. So I'm not worried about that. But her red blood cell count is high. It went from being low to high. It's oftentimes dehydration.
Dehydration, okay.
Yeah. Okay. All of her numbers went up, and this may be an inflated up. Her hemoglobin, all of these can be related to dehydration.
Okay.
So make sure that she's hydrated, make sure she's drinking enough. If she's exercising, she drinks more. The RDW is much better.
Okay.
Her MCV one is around the same. It's like, tiny bit up. What was her iron?
Her iron was low, but now it's normal.
Okay, good.
That's within optimal range.
That explains why that improved. Hematocrit. So all this stuff is looking much better. Okay, neutrophils. Interesting. So swapped.
Yeah. That's like,
So it may be that she had some sort of acute kind of bacterial thing that she was fighting off.
So that was the mole, right? When they first tested it.
Yeah, it could be. I don't know I don't know. I've seen enough documentation to know what mold elevates, whether it elevates lymphocytes or we can do a quick search to see if we can find anything on that. But this suggests that because the lymphocytes are high, that there's a viral issue.
Yeah.
Maybe that was being masked by everything else.
Mm.
But oftentimes a viral issue can trigger an autoimmune process.
Yeah.
So, has she had any mono or exposures that might indicate hepatitis?
No. I mean, not in our interviews, in our sessions. They didn't mention.
I would ask her if she ever had mono or if anybody in the house had mono. Or if right before getting this test done, because her monocytes are, I bet she was fighting off a cold.
Oh, okay.
Or at the tail end of it because her monocytes are high and they weren't before.
Okay.
And monocytes are that healing phase. So it just could just be an upper respiratory infection that she was dealing with or fighting off. Ask if somebody else in the house was sick.
Okay.
Because other than that, these change dramatically from, week to week based on what's going on.
Okay.
Immune-wise and exposure-wise. So that's what I would look at if anybody ever, you know, had mono, or if there's an indication of hepatitis or EBV. Those are the kind of things, but it could just be standard old run-of-the-mill upper respiratory infection. Okay. Stomach flu will often be a viral thing. Okay. This does look like it's recent because of the monocytes being high.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So when the monocyte is high, it's in a recovery.
It's in the recovery stage, or it can be in an acute chronic phase where it's been there for a while. Mm-hmm. But I always go back and look, and she was at 5.2 before she was elevated.
Yeah.
And given it does go high in autoimmune diseases, I mean, generally we're looking at autoimmune diseases in 50-year-olds, so it's been there for a really long time. But the fact that this hasn't been, if I were to look at this and she was chronically elevated monocytes from one time to the next, then we know it wasn't the acute healing phase, that it was really actually an autoimmune and it's chronic. So it's worth looking into and then just redoing, you know, when you do the other, do a CBC again and see.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Ferritin's getting a little better. Vitamin D. Yeah, let's just get that vitamin D up further than that.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It's a little bit better.
Okay. That's good because this, you know, in these muscle wasting diseases, this goes sky high.
Yeah.
This is coming back down. So that's really a good indicator. Yeah. So definitely good improvement. And if this was an after eating glucose, it's not anything to.
Yeah, so it's after eating. Okay. So it's just the follow up on the LDH and then the viral, follow on the viral.
Yes.
If there's any acute.
It's 7/12, so it's a month away. I mean, if they're willing to do it. Did they do this through their doctor?
Yeah, they did.
What did the doctor say about these numbers?
I think they just did the test. They haven't visited the doctor yet.
Yeah, I'd be curious what they have to say. But my recommendation would be like 6 weeks out from here to do it again. So if this was 7/12, you know, so within like by the end of August to redo the CBC.
Okay, end of August. Okay. And I think they're seeing a gastroenterologist in a month. Okay.
Great.
Test. Okay.
Really great to work with someone whose parents are open to doing this, and then when they can get the kid to cooperate.
Yeah. So I do see it as you know, as you see your kids like not able to just play.
Right.
Yeah. It's you do whatever you can.
But you also don't want your kid to have, you know, a degenerative disease that can cut their life span and their life quality. So, you know, it's those trade-offs, right?
Do we
eat junk food and die young, or, you know, and have a miserable life where their muscles deteriorate, or do we want to have them feel deprived that way, but on the other hand, live a relatively normal life? Because being confined to a wheelchair and being in pain all the time, that's definitely going to cut into quality of life.
So besides the supplements and food, anything else you would recommend to the protocol?
Yeah.
She doesn't go to school. Lynn was asking. She doesn't go to school. She's taken last school year. She took some time off since December. And I don't know if she's going back to school the coming fall. I'll ask them.
Yeah. I mean, it could be hard to maintain this kind of thing and then put on stress of, I mean, I hate to say it, but you would think that kindergarten, first grade, second grade, that those would be the non-stress years, but they start stressing these kids out with horrible tests and all that. That's why homeschooling, we did homeschooling for our kids the first few years because I took my kid out of that environment because it is very stressful, you know, and they were like having stomach aches and, you know, various things from the stress of got to take this test, got to do it in timing. And I think that would be the worst thing for a kid like this. So if they could keep her home and homeschool her and just, keep up with this regime, I think it's going to be great.
Yeah.
And stabilize.
Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. I can't think of anything. I mean, I'm assuming that the house they've moved her to is air filters and water filters and
Mm-hmm. All that kind of stuff. Should ask them to do a mold testing. They did a dish. They were going to move back to their old house, and then they did a little dish thing to see if there's mold there was. So they decided to stay a little longer with grandma.
So what have they done, mold remediation at the old house?
They haven't. It's a family apartment, so it's not that easy to just, you know, have. So I think financially too.
I don't think they'll be able to move her back unless they do remediation, because the mold, depending on how severe it was, it can get into all the fabric. So the couches, the rugs, I mean, mold remediation, getting into the ducts, the air conditioning in the ducts. I mean, that's all really important stuff. I wouldn't move her back, and I would test the new environment.
Yeah.
You know, maybe it's obviously not as high, but when you test her, even before you test her, you might want to not waste the time on drawing her blood and doing whatever, you know, for that. It would be a good thing to test the environment.
So definitely advise that when the time, if they're thinking about it. I think they had carpet.
For me, I had to remove all of our carpeting because we had mold. My son's room when he was little, and he coughed. He woke up with the postnasal drip every single day, and we removed the carpeting and we tested, and everything was fine, and it's been fine ever since. I think it's really important to do that, because carpets, you know, with that, the carpeting has the under thing, whatever they call that, the under.
The padding underneath.
Stuff, when we pulled the carpet up, it was horrific. And the smell was awful. It was really disgusting, because it holds. If you spill something on the carpet dries, but it gets into that under, and it doesn't.
See the padding.
It just grows mold. So I would definitely test the new environment as well. They may have to consider getting rid of their carpeting.
Okay, sounds good. Sounds good. Great. So I just have a quick question regarding Claudia. I know we've been doing that on the Facebook. She's just couldn't get rid of the UTI this time. And as you mentioned, it may be a bladder infection. Feeling pressure like a fist.
Well, I didn't think it was a kidney, right? So that's why I asked you to look at the blood and the... And I asked her some questions the other day. So I think it's just strictly the bladder.
So,
an infection versus definitely infection versus like an interstitial cystitis. Sometimes you have to differentiate because the symptoms will be the same, but because the dipstick showed high leukocytes and nitrates, it's definitely infectious. So I don't know if you've talked to her since, but Lynn and I spoke to her, I think on Friday, on a call that we had with the ERC group.
I didn't hear her. Okay, so if she brought it up, then that's
additional. And you know, I looked at dosing, and sometimes you have to go higher dosing, dosing to the vitamin C. And so she was going to try a bunch of that stuff. Recommended one other thing, and I can't remember what it was. She was going to go get a couple of other herbal corn silk and a couple of other things like that for the actual comfort part of it.
That's good. Thank you. It's a long time. Just like she couldn't kick it off this time. It's been 3 weeks.
She hasn't been actively engaged in sexual activity since.
Not since.
Yeah. Okay, because that's the thing. Like, I can't get rid of it. Well, how often are you having sex? three, four times a week. Okay, well, let's just abstain for a while.
She hasn't. I think she hasn't.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. And we also to look at, what did we say? To do a culture, to have them do a culture if worst case is she can have it. She can have her urine. You can test it with the dipsticks, but you can also have it cultured to see what it is. Right. If there's very specific bug, like, wow, that's a weird one. We can, go through herbal antibiotics and see if we can find a specific.
And I was reading up on her doctor's data stool test came back, and she's got Klebsiella, the certain species. And that could be as well.
That could be contributing. Right.
Being
careful about hygiene and wiping and, using. Not just the toilet, you use the toilet paper and you drag it to keep the whole area clean so that there isn't any transmission from one orifice to the other. But I would look that up in the herbal antibiotic. This is viral, but the herbal antibiotics book.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. See, because he'll distinguish between UTIs versus gut.
Yeah, he did.
Mm-hmm. There may be some specific stuff that with Klebsiella, mm-hmm. like I mentioned, cryptolepsis. Mm-hmm. I know he uses a lot of with the Klebsiella.
Yeah.
Very helpful.
Some articles, I think it was.
Whoops. She froze, didn't she? Or was it me that writes for her? Okay.
Yeah. So
you froze. So you read an article and then you froze.
Oh, there's for Klebsiella there. She has some, it's a different, it's a species oxy something. Anyway, there's certain essential oils that is sage. I think just sage was one of them that was good for, that was effective
okay.
for that strain. Yeah,
I think all of that will be, you yeah. know, be very helpful, but the hygiene is going to be good. Not taking baths or hot tubs because that mm-hmm. causes more of that transmission from one orifice to the other.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Any homeopathic support you can think of, Lynn Rose? Oh.
I know you walked in. I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, we're talking about a UTI. Yeah. It's just not going away and not responding to the normal.
What's not responding?
It's a UTI, bladder infection.
Yeah, there are remedies that help a lot. I usually make up the dropper with about three or four remedies.
Any in particular? Are they really specific to the
Staphysagria, Cantharis, Causticum?
Okay.
Those are the three specific ones.
Okay.
In some cases, I'll add Hepar sulf and silica. There seems to be an infection.
Yeah, well, there's definitely, because her dipsticks are showing high leukocytes and nitrates, so there's definitely infection there.
Okay. Yeah, but Staphysagria, Cantharis, and Causticum are the three.
Sangria?
Staphysagria.
Staphysagria.
Can you type in the chat? Thank you.
Thank you. Once we go into things that sound like a foreign language.
That's homeopathic, right?
Homeopathic, yeah.
Okay.
Are there any homeopathic formulas for like a boron or some of those have formulas?
I'm not sure. I've never really looked at the ready-made.
And what doses do you do? Do you do 30C, 30X?
Well, I put a couple of, I use 30s. Put a couple of pellets of each one of these in a dropper, you know, with spring water and a little alcohol to preserve it. And then let it dissolve and then succuss it. And then dose it, you know, frequently. My neighbor had one the other day and I told her first take it once an hour.
Yeah.
And then drop it down to every couple hours and then just, you know, level it off.
So if she were to get some of the little pellet things, 30C or 30X?
30C.
30C. So she would get each of these at 30C.
Those you can buy in the store.
Those you can get them at any health food store. And they're having the ones without lactose in them. That's really cool for those who are lactose intolerant.
Well, most of the ones we get are sucrose. They're not lactose.
Oh, sucrose. That's good because a lot of them have been. Anyway, you can get them at Whole Foods and then get a dropper bottle, little, you know, amber dropper bottle. You put a few pellets of each into the dropper bottle. A couple pellets of each into the dropper bottle. Put water in, a little bit of alcohol, any kind.
I use a little bit of either Everclear or vodka just for a preservative if you're going to keep it for a while. If you're just going to use it for a one time.
You don't need it. Just put the water in it. You shake it up.
You don't touch the dropper so you don't contaminate it.
Right. You shake it up real well. And then she could just dose it, like dose what, a whole dropper full or a half dropper full?
Just a drop.
Drop each time.
I do two drops an hour.
Okay.
Whether you do one drop or 20 drops, it's the same dose. It's the
same idea. Yeah.
You don't need to do a lot.
That's the beauty of homeopathics. I've had one kit forever, and you just take a couple of pellets and you make, it lasts forever.
Yep. And that's what I taught when I did that talk. I had the plus sheet that I gave as a gift, and that explains how to do that.
Awesome.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. So that's good. That's worth a try as well.
Works
on animals too. I don't know if my animals have ever had a UTI.
My neighbor has one that does.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. All right. Cool. Good, good, good. Thank you. We have to have you do a whole, we'll have to add a whole, so I'll have to have a conversation with you, adding a module to the course on homeopathic remedies. We'll hire you to do that. All right. Let's go see another thing to consider. Oh, that's a good idea, just considering the musculoskeletal. Yeah, always looking at the low back area, the sacrum area. Oh, wow. Cool. Rolling the sacroiliac. That could do it. That's good. Thank you, Angelica.
If you have a minute, I have a question about myself.
Sure. Yeah. Let's see what time we have. Yeah, we have about 20 minutes left. So what do you need?
I have had a lot of shoulder problems since about the end of December, and it got a lot worse in March. And I finally got an MRI done. And what they found is three major things, I guess. basically, the tendon that attaches the biceps is fraying. It's a supraspinatus tendinosus with articular surface fraying. And then a slap tear with a bucket handle tear of the superior labrum extending to the biceps tendon. And then thickened axillary pouch suggesting adhesive capsulitis.
Wow. Okay. So, what was their recommendation?
I'm going to a guy who's pretty conservative. So his recommendation is to do a guided injection of a steroid to cut the inflammation and allow physical therapy to help work, because right now physical therapy, they're saying it probably won't work.
Have you done any ultrasound on it?
No.
Okay. Trigger point injection type of work? Well, you know, saline injections into trigger points?
That's new to me.
Okay. So here's what my finding is. It may be that that's an approach that could be, because when you said steroid injections, most of them leave it there. Right. And he's saying steroid injections to get the inflammation down. But you know what I've found to helps to get the inflammation down, if you haven't already done it, is ultrasound. And I use ultrasound with something, a topical that I want to drive in, because the ultrasound will drive it in. So we could use like a ginger essential oil mixed with coconut oil. We can use some turmeric oil. We can use castor oil. A castor oil would probably be a good base, castor oil with the turmeric and ginger. And you put it on top of it. You could put for pain relief, you could put wintergreen or something like that. You put all that on and then you put the ultrasound gel and then you do it. What's this? What is it? Len, unmute. She's showing goodies.
Well, this is CBD cream, but it's called Chicky Balm. Chicky Chill.
Chill.
Yeah, there's a company here in Austin called Chicky Butta, and they make this kind of stuff.
Okay. So that would make it easy.
Because
CBD could be really good. CBD is usually out of my, I don't think of it like firsthand, but now it's like, oh yeah, CBD. You can always do CBD on it as well. So something that is an anti-inflammatory that is topical, and then you do the ultrasound over it and it drives it in. Where you want to be working is, and I would highly recommend, because you need this regularly and it costs you out of pocket through a physical therapist through the roof, you get your own ultrasound machine. Is it right hand or left hand? I can't remember.
What was your question?
Your right side or your left?
It's the left shoulder.
Perfect. And you're right-handed?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. So you'll roll on the cream, whatever cream you decide to use. What is that? Pure Ratios Transdermal Reservoir Patch. Ooh, there we go. Okay, there we go. Pain relief patches with the CBD in it. So
Tanya, it works like a charm.
Okay, that's
high from it, but the THC ramps up the effects of the CBD.
Yeah, so that's good. And I would say the ultrasound with the CBD cream or CBD ginger, whatever else cream, during the ultrasound, and then in between you use the patch.
Susan, could you put that in the chat, please? I can't keep up with all these great ideas.
Yeah, I will. It's not necessarily something that's available, like it's manufactured here in Massachusetts, but you could find something similar to that, but certainly I will.
And what about the one you put up, Lynn Rose? Is yours a nationally available thing?
I don't know. This is something I just got today on from online. It's not CBD or anything, but it's one of those Facebook things. But it's got MSM and different other herbs and turmeric and vitamin D and some other. It's supposed to be a pain patch.
Okay.
So
yeah, I mean, that could certainly be good for your in-between. Those are anti-inflammatories as well. The big problem I have with anything that's a pain relief is that then the pain goes away and then you start using it and then you hurt it more, right? Isabel, it looks like you're trying to talk, but you're muted, so you might be talking to somebody else. But if you're trying to talk to us, just unmute yourself. So I like the combination of the ultrasound because it gets in and it breaks up adhesions and it actually heals, right? It helps improve the healing rate. And I would be doing that. So the biceps tendon comes across and is in here, right? The labrum is going to be inside the joint. So I would be doing all the way around from here. Then the supraspinatus comes around from here. So you want to get somewhat into the muscle itself and into the joint. So I would just basically be doing like from around here to around here.
Okay. You know, the places you're pointing to are where I'm having the most pain. And it's going up into my collarbone now too.
So all those areas, you know, you want to make sure that you're doing the ultrasound with. You could do it. You want to do a continuous ultrasound versus a pulsed ultrasound. I mean, you could start with pulsed for the first couple of days just to make sure and then move on. Pulsed is like ice and the other continuous is like heat, but this is a chronic issue. And so chronic issues, ice is, you know, usually too, you know, it spasms everything. So you can try it both ways. And I would do that, like, you could start doing that a couple of times a day, actually, at the beginning, right? It goes well with doing specific physical therapy. So maybe you do the physical therapy, but you know, that's going to be once a week or whatever. And you can do this in between, where they can get in and do some mobilization. They can get in and do some specific cross fiber massage on these different spots. And if they are into, this is a really important piece to prevent this from, you know, you want to think about how this happened. There's oftentimes trigger points in these various muscles. So you've got the infraspinatus, the supraspinatus, the biceps, the teres. They're all leading into this little shoulder joint. When any of them gets inflamed or thickened or adhesions, it just shrinks down that space. And then it impairs mobility and it causes pain. So I think probably setting up the physical therapy, but also doing this in between, because number one, a lot of physical therapists are not doing ultrasound anymore. They're just wanting to do the manual hands-on stuff. And when you don't do that, I just think ultrasound I've seen miracles with it, total miracles with it. Okay. Just recently reading about it, my son's got a broken rib and he went to get it checked out and they said, doesn't look like it's healing, but what we found is ultrasound will help it to pulse ultrasound. So I started researching that and I'm like, oh, okay, I'm going to send my son an ultrasound machine. I'm like, okay, instead of $150, $200 a week in physical therapy bills, I'll pay $200 to get to an ultrasound. And, you know, but I think it's a miraculous tool that's underutilized.
Do you have a particular one that you know is a good model?
Well,
to get.
What I usually have done is I'll go online because they vary it. And sometimes there's some available on closeout or whatever, but I've seen some really good ones for $150 to $200 that are brands that, you know, have always been professional brands. You know, who knows what the FDA is going to do and the drug companies are going to do to shut that down. So you have to be a professional to get it. But for now, we can get it. And I would say, let's look right now. Let's just look. Sometimes Amazon does, but more and more, I think because I'm sending people to Amazon, they don't have it as often.
Dr. Rita Marie, can I ask Valerie a question while you're looking?
Yes, please.
Valerie, is there any particular kind of habitual movement that you've done that would have stressed that area?
Not that I am aware of. It started... I don't understand. I've had a lot of issues in that whole area. The last two times I've gone to the NEPT retreat, I've had huge issues more toward the back, but I think it's all related and I don't know what's going on. And in fact, they did a cervical MRI as well, just to see if that might be causing it. And what they found is mild, I have mild disc herniations, but nothing really they think is causing any of the shoulder issues. I am having some numbness in my little finger too. Mm-hmm. Numbness and tingling.
Yeah. So. Also, you know, the chronic repetitive, great question, right? I always want to ask about that. But the other thing is an old injury, like that creep up after, you know, you have an injury when you're 17 and then when you're 58, something, you know, active acts of whatever cause it to be aggravated. So
like whiplash, did you ever have whiplash?
Not that I know of. No, but I have had a long time back in high school, I had a lot of problems with that shoulder going in and out. And later I learned I have loose ligaments. And then Dr. Rita Marie talked to me a couple years ago about manganese being a deficient that can cause that. So I've actually been taking a little more manganese trying. So I don't know, maybe I tightened it up too much.
Oh, probably, yeah. And adrenals, adrenal dysfunction for years will cause the
I run high cortisol. I'm at the high end on both cortisol and cortisone on the Dutch.
Yeah.
Well, those muscles clearly want to hug close to the bone.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That slight herniation in the cervical spine could be contributing to it.
Yeah.
And then you might even feel it in the rib cage on that same side because the shoulder girdle relates to the rib cage. So you might even feel it there.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
Do you feel any stiffening in the rib cage on that side?
I am not aware of that. I have had a lot of ribs on both sides go out, and I know it when they're out, and I go get them adjusted. That's been an issue, but I haven't had that recently.
Okay. Is it your right shoulder?
It's the left shoulder. But years ago, I had a problem with the right shoulder. It had a torn rotator cuff and had surgery, and he couldn't get to it. He would have caused more damage to fix it than to leave it alone, so he didn't do anything. He cleaned out the joint a little bit. But that shoulder isn't normal either. Like if I stand up against the wall, that shoulder won't touch the wall.
Well, you know what we find oftentimes, I'm sure you see this with your yoga people and all, Susan, is that when there's an injury on one side of the body, the other side of the body overcompensates, and then you get chronic repetitive deterioration and whatever in that area. So it sounds like there's not any, I mean, it's looking at what you're doing is absolutely important and structurally, and that's usually what a physical therapist will do, will help you with postural stuff and balancing stuff like that. So I would recommend the combination of the physical therapy with the ultrasound machine because they don't do that. My husband, I sent him off to a physical therapist for some stuff he was having and they got him to do the exercise. He wouldn't do it for me, but yeah. They got him to do the posture stuff and the exercise and all that. And he was getting well. I said, are they doing ultrasound? And he says, no. So I taught him how to do the ultrasound and that like skyrocketed his improvement. Right. And anytime he injures himself now, he pulls out the ultrasound. I don't even have it in my office anymore. It's down in the living room where he does it. But he does it on a regular basis. So it's, I think it's an important machine. There's this company I've usually found them at called LG Medical Supply. And sometimes, you know how things go, they're the old version of something and they're bringing in a new version. So I found one here, LG Pro ultrasound unit with carry case and AC adapter. You know, it used to be these places would have on it, you know, show us your medical license and we'll give it to you. No, it's not saying that. So this one actually looks good. 20% off with the coupon LG20. So I'll give you the link to this page.
Thank you.
And everybody that I've had order one has had such phenomenal responses. Like, oh, this foot pain that I've had for the last 3 years within 2 weeks is feeling better, or frozen shoulder that within 2-3 weeks was completely clear. Again, and what the questions Susan's asking are really good, which is you don't want to just deal with the symptom, right? You want to go, okay, what's causing it? So you don't have, you do all this work and then it just keeps going back.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And if you're taking any homeopathics, be careful about what topicals, like CBD, you can do just fine. But if you're using menthol or wintergreen. Do we still have that caution, Lynn? Yeah, you got to be careful because it can antidote the homeopathic.
Okay.
But there's your link.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
I just really wasn't sure where to go at this point. And I'm glad you had time to answer that question today. Thank you.
Absolutely. And if you need help once you get the machine in, I'm sure everybody would love to see a demo and we can take you through how to do it, right?
Okay.
I mean, I can pull my machine up and I can actually just show you on myself how I would do it. And yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
What's that? Who said
that? I'm going to get one.
You're going to get one?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a great machine to have. And, you know, you can't do it on clients, obviously, unless you're licensed.
Right.
But what you could do is let them borrow it. Oh, just go sit in my waiting room. If you want to borrow this, you can, right? Have them sign a disclaimer that says, you know, that you agree that you're using this machine and whatever, but it's a possibility. I mean, it may be crossing lines in some states, but yeah.
I'm sorry, which one was it? The LG US-1 portable ultrasound unit?
Yeah, let me go back to that page. Yeah, this one, it looks like a good one.
Whoops. $1,199.
It says $209, and then there's a coupon to get it for $167. Ships the same business day. It gives you a little thing of ultrasound gel. Yeah, and it has, let me look this up close.
Oh, okay. I see it. Oh, fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a good deal to have your own. And, you know, the whole thing is empowered self-care, right? So it costs $150 to go to a physical therapist for one visit, right? And they're not even doing the ultrasound. So if you go there and you get like I did with Scott, to get the instructions, to get the evaluation, to see the posturally and stuff that the doctor wouldn't do, but to see, you know, have you do your normal activities of daily living, see what you need help with in that regard. Be careful if they give you too intensive exercises right away, because that's the thing I see with a lot of physical therapists. They're gung-ho, let's get this rehabbed. But you have to go through the anti-inflammatory stage first, right? That's the stage that needs to happen. So instead of a steroid shot, let's just get, you know, CBD and other kinds of things deep inside that joint and see what we could do. But I would say if you can do it once or twice a day for 2 or 3 weeks, you're going to see, you'll see major changes after a few days.
Okay. Great. Thank you. Yeah. The exercises are just kind of too painful right now. Even the basic ones.
Yeah, no, they're not. Cause you've got inflammation in there and the doctor was right on. You need to get the inflammation down so the physical therapy will work, but it doesn't have to be through a steroid shot.
What do you think about acupuncture?
Well, acupuncture is great. It's not going to address the dysfunction. It's going to address the energetics to the area and it's going to help to bring what's needed to the area. But when you've got that physical tearing and stuff, acupuncture is not going to heal that.
Okay.
Right. But
this doctor actually mentioned it as a possible.
I think it would be a great adjunct. Absolutely. I always think acupuncture is a great adjunct to just about everything.
Okay. Thank you.
If you have phobia, then it's not a good adjunct. Good. All right. All right, we have about four more minutes before I need to get off. Anybody else have questions or comments or stuff you want to go over? Oh, is this what for Lynn Rose? This Arnica Rustox Ruta Hypericum Calendula? That's for the... Oh, that's for the shoulder. Right. Okay. But if she's doing any menthols, can she do it in the same day or no?
Just not when the scent is there.
Okay.
Separately.
Yeah. But you know what ultrasound does? It drives it in. So even after you've taken a shower, you still feel the menthol feeling.
Yeah.
So, you know, you may want to alternate those things.
Well, do one in the morning and one in the evening or something.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, cool. Janine, did you have anything? Whoops, unmute.
No, I was just curious because when my chiropractor uses ultrasound because of all my disc and problems, frozen shoulders, I had the first rib out. Like when he did it, he said, you have to be careful, because I thought, oh, that'd be great to have. And he said, yeah, but you have to be careful with the bones.
Yeah, you do. And you do have to be careful. That's why I said I'll show you. But you do have to be careful. Anything that's related to the spine and the ribs with the underlying, I think there's a lot more care that needs to be taken with it. The one caution with ultrasound is don't stop. You have to keep it moving. If you stop, you can burn the periosteum of the bone. Another thing to consider is if you're doing something on the spine, don't run the ultrasound over the spine. You can do it on one side of the spine, lift and go to the other side of the spine, but you don't want to do it that way. And then with the, again, it's just keeping it moving when you're going over the areas. It's really not a big issue. Yeah, we had a whole course on how to use an ultrasound machine and all the precautions, but I'm going to synthesize it down. For doing it with shoulders, for doing it with the extremities, there's not as much of a thing. We were doing a lot with the spine, and you do have to be careful and, you know, reiterate over and over, don't cross the spine. Don't cross the spine. Remember, don't cross the spine, right? And don't stop it, and don't ever do it on a kid that doesn't have already formed growth plates, because it'll stop it. So, you know, when my son actually reached his skeletal maturity is when he goes, okay, now we can do ultrasound, right? Because he wanted it because he had so many injuries. And it made a huge difference with him, with healing sprained ankles and all that. But, yeah.
Because I have so many problems with my shoulders and stuff. And the taping really helps. Like, it removes the pain right away and the inflammation. So, but I'm trying to not go see the chiropractor as much.
Well, the thing about the ultrasound is it does, like when you're doing it, I'm not a big fan of going to see the chiropractor 3 times a week. I never believed in that for getting the adjustments. But when it came to the physical therapy after a trauma or with a chronic injury, I realized the value of doing it very often. But the trigger points is also an important thing. So that trigger point book I mentioned a few weeks back, I think it's just trigger point therapy. It's something you can get on Amazon. It's like home trigger point therapy. You can identify the pain patterns, the referral patterns, and do your own by getting like the little thing that you reach back. It's got the little knobby thing, and you know, you can do self-care. So that's a good thing as well. And then when I said saline, so that's not something you're going to do yourself, but it's actually either acupuncture needles, just put dry needling into the trigger points, but that's not something you're going to do on yourself. That's something an acupuncturist or somebody who does myofascial work, like a chiropractor who does myofascial work, would know how to do that. So when I've worked with people on these kind of injuries, I do everything, right? I work the neck, you know, we work on adjusting the neck and we work on working the muscles and work on all the trigger points, you know, and I've had people get rid of their carpal tunnel pretty quickly, even after having other stuff done, because I found trigger points in the infraspinatus, the supraspinatus, and some of the forearm muscles. And when we worked those in conjunction with the ultrasound and the, you know, the proper hygiene of, you know, postural hygiene, it makes a huge difference. So like everything else, it's a holistic process, right?
Yeah. Right. You know, I found a lady on the Pain Reveal that was just online and got her exercises. I'm going to try those and then let the group know how they work. She was actually bedridden and, you know, doing these certain movements really helped with her spine injuries, neck injuries, shoulder injuries.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to start trying that as soon as possible, because with my falls, you know, I've knocked out my vertebrae in my neck again. They're turned. So it makes sense to heal the muscles, right?
Well, that's the thing. That's the thing I've always been a big proponent of. And that what I would do in my practice is you can't just move bones and say, come back 3 times a week for the rest of your life and we'll keep moving your bones back in. Bones don't move on their own unless you have trauma. Blunt trauma, boom, it moves a bone. But mostly it's moved because of the imbalanced pulls on the muscles. And when you create a balanced torsion, think about this. If I were to have Lynn pull me on this side and nobody pull me on this side, my arm's going to go this way. But if two people pull me equally on both sides, it's going to keep it in the right place. And that's kind of, it's not as simple as that with the vertebrae. There's all kinds of little muscles in between them and out to the bones to the side, especially in the upper back. So you just have to really think about the muscles. You have to address the muscles. You got to put the bones back in place. But if you just keep putting the bones back in place without addressing the muscles, the bones won't stay in place. And then there's also the proprioception. And within the belly of each muscle and then at the places where they attach, there's proprioceptors. So it's working on those. This is not the time for that. We got to get them, you know, some of the adhesions down. But you basically, if you're adjusting something, and it's been out of place for a while because of a trauma, whatever, and you adjust it, it just goes, oh, back, right? And everything is going to pull it back to where it used to be, because the proprioception, the where I am in space message from the muscle out to the brain is not altered. So you have to get in there, and there are techniques you can do to get in and just do manipulation on the areas where those proprioceptors are, in the middle of the belly of the muscle, and then at the ends where they attach. And I have literally had people who crawled up my, because I had stairs, when I crawled up my stairs to come into my office and had been struggling with, like, whatever it was, knee problems or whatever, for weeks on end. And I went in there and I worked on the proprioceptors and I worked the ultra, I did all my stuff. And he was literally able to run down the stairs after that. And I said, you just keep doing it. You got to do this every day and reset it. And, you know, I like to empower people to self-care, not to come back and see me every day for the rest of your life. So, yeah. Cool. Good stuff. All right, guys. Thank you very much. I'm going to go off and get ready to be on a webinar in a little bit on keto, and hopefully hear back from Steph. She's supposed to join me and support me with that. She's going to talk about the keto effects on the microbiome and some of the things. She's going to speak at Shine, yay, on that. And she's going to give everybody a little hint as to, you know, the keto and how it affects the microbiome and some of the things that we can do to support that. Okay. Bye. Talk to you soon.